another thing which I learned, I made friends with a very, very good programmer called Tony Hassett, who had written a program to solve simplified equations of reactor theory, to design reactor cores. And I became very interested in this program, and I became an expert in handling input and output for this program, in other words, being a liaison between the physics group that I was working for, running this program and processing the results. And so, if you like, I was not programming, but I would talk a lot to him and feedback ideas from us. And so I helped to design this program, helped to develop, he did all the programming. And it was a very advanced program. And what that led to, after I moved to the States, which we'll talk about later, it led me to take this program to Los Alamos Laboratory, where our program was much faster than that program. Yeah. It was less accurate, but it was a very, very fast program. So Tony let me take a tape. Well, he let me take a tape with me from England to this company, and we used his program inside the company I worked for, the private company we talked about. But soon the word got out that we had this very fast program, and Los Alamos was interested. And so they flew me out to Los Alamos in 1963.
With a physical tape,
yeah. And it was a wonderful experience. So I was 26 years old. I'd never been to the West before. I'd been to the Midwest I was in. And it's the most romantic trip. So I flew to Albuquerque, which was for me like a different world.
It is pretty different.
Yeah, and I arrived there in the night. In the evening, it was probably 4 in the afternoon, and I had instructions what to do. It was rather mysterious. So I had to go to a certain desk, okay, and it was called Carco. I still remember the name. Go to the Carco desk and wait. So I was my tape and my little bag. Nothing much happened at the Carco desk. The airport was pretty empty anyway. And soon, though, a guy comes dressed in jeans. Jeans and sort of maybe a cowboy hat, I don't remember. Mr. Siegel! I said, yes, come with me. So we go out to the side entrance and in a little plane. And he flies me in this little Cessna or whatever it was, up from Albuquerque up to the Mesa, which is where Los Alamos is.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, at that time, of course, I didn't have the guilt feelings about Hiroshima. You know, being a young physicist and through the war and everything, I still thought that the Manhattan Project was the most exciting thing in the world. It was a great achievement and so on. And so here I was, and we land there, and the car comes for me, and we're delivered to the hotel. Actually, it's even more exciting because the guy who came in a car was also, he wasn't in jeans, but he was in a sort of a hunting-type shirt and a string tie, I remember. Mm-hmm. He was the director of the computing division. Carol Zabel, he was called. I remember his name from all that time ago. He welcomed me like I was his friend, you know, and long lost. It was so unexpected and so charming as a young man. So he took me to the lodge. The lodge at that time was a log cabin type building, which was the original school building where Oppenheimer and company had, was what existed when Oppenheimer discovered it. In fact, Oppenheimer and his family used to go there to ride horses. Oppenheimer came from a very rich family. Mm. And so Oppenheimer knew this part of the world from before. And when they needed a lab in the back and beyond the remote places, he thought of putting it there. So what we were staying in was the original building there. It was a school, or I don't know what it was originally. I think maybe it was a school, but it was a ranch. And that building's been pulled down since. But so I stayed there. And later that evening, for supper, the guy comes, and we go and we eat supper in his house with his family. So the next morning, I go with my tape, deliver the tape, and they give me a tour of Los Alamos Computer Center. So I still remember the machine there. It was called an IBM Stretch machine. It was the biggest machine in the world. It was literally very big. It was very long. Mm. It had lights flashing. It looked like the biggest supercomputer in the world. Now, I went back in 91, it must have been, back to Los Alamos for a meeting with the division leader of our division, by the way. And we couldn't get in. The meeting was held outside the fence. It was part of the assembly of the meeting rooms and everything, but we were not allowed to go. There was no question of going inside to see the computer center.
Yeah.
No question. So that was very exciting, and that shows how accidents lead to interesting things. In exchange, by the way, we got a copy of their neutral transport program written by a Swede called Bengt Carlson, I remember, and I could take that back with me to the company which I was working in.